I do appreciate the opportunity to stand before you this afternoon. I will tell you, though, that I would have been just as satisfied and happy and rejoiceful to sit and worship under anyone else's preaching. If we're here for the right reason, we've come to worship.
That's right.
In whatever capacity God has called us to worship in.
That's it.
But I do appreciate your prayers this afternoon and trust that I will speak long enough that you consider what is said and not any longer than that. I tend to remember things that people tell me that are a little bit more negative, I guess, than things that are positive. I remember when I first began to try to preach, older minister, and probably best, I don't remember who it was, in the handshake said, "I enjoyed your effort." And I guess I was a little puffed up. I thought it was more than an effort, but I understand that now a whole lot more.
Amen.
I remember a sister on one occasion down in central Mississippi told me after service, she said, "Brother Owens, you will always be well received amongst the primitive Baptists when you know when to quit." And I thought, well, is she complimenting me on the fact that I knew when to quit, or chastening me on the fact that I didn't know when to quit? So, but I do appreciate the encouragement of God's people as I try to endeavor to serve Him in the way that He's called. The minister doesn't need grace to preach when he's sitting on the pew. He needs grace to preach when he's standing behind the podium. And not that that's the only place preaching occurs. Preaching can occur in any place that God burdens a man to say what has been given to be said to any person or individual. And sometimes, as the brother has said, we preach to ourselves very fervently sometimes. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, I want to just get a quick question out of the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. Sometimes we hesitate to use the language that other groups of people use. We don't have revivals, we have meetings. Well, I hope we have revivals.
Amen.
But the only way that we can say that we had a revival is after it's over with.
Right. Amen.
And look backwards on it. But there's a question here that the Lord Jesus asked an individual. And so if the Lord sees fit to ask this question, I think it's appropriate if we have an opportunity and are led to do so to ask this question. Not that we ask it to condemn anyone, but that we ask it to offer an opportunity of understanding and to open a door. The 9th chapter of the Gospel of John and the 35th verse, Jesus asks a particular man. He says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Sometimes I will ask people, "Are you a religious person?" And I will get the answer to that. And then I'll ask, "Are you a spiritual person?" Because those are two different questions. We can be very religious and not very spiritual.
Amen.
But I trust that we have an appropriate balance of religious activity, assembly and worship, coupled with a spiritual nature and a spiritual desire. So Jesus says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" There's a whole lot more this afternoon that I don't know than what I do know. And someone complimented me one time. They said, "Brother Owens, we really enjoy your preaching." Oh, I was getting ready for a good compliment. And then she said, "When you don't know something, you're honest about it. You just from the pulpit, I don't know what this means, but instead of trying to act like I know everything. So I take that as a compliment also. The Lord is speaking here in the 9th chapter of John to a young man whom the Bible gives an account of his healing, of his vision. This was a young man that was born blind. And we see that there are a couple of questions asked about this individual, some from his friends, some from the Pharisees, some from his family. Everyone's wondering about this and trying to understand this. Some from the apostles. But I think they all fail at the main point here. And the young man gives us the point that means the most to me out of all of this. The apostles begin to ask about this man's parents. What had they done? Who did this sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? They're interested in the sin. Who did this? What caused this? We find that after he is healed of his blindness, the Lord applying spittle to his eyes and washing it off, the neighbors come and they see that this man who had been born blind, and they question, is not this he that sat and begged? Is this the same person? We want to understand that this is the blind man, not someone else. They said, how were thine eyes opened? They're interested in the actual physical work that was done. And it's explained to them how the Lord made spittle and put upon his eyes, told him to go and wash, and how he received his sight. A very simple explanation. But probably they're wanting even a greater understanding. How does the power that's used here, how did that actually do this? And they don't have that answer. And then the Pharisees come along and we learn that this was done on the Sabbath day. I tell you what, when you offend the lawyers, you got a fight on your hands.
That's right.
They're not interested in how, they're interested in when. This was done on the Sabbath day. Surely this man who did this cannot be of God because this is done on the Sabbath day. Brother, I personally find no offense on when the Lord chooses to do what He does.
Amen.
The thing that they fail to see is that this blind man now has vision.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whose fault it was that he was blind, and we learned that it was
right.
No one's fault.
Right.
You know, you still hear that idea today when children are born with some affliction or infirmity. Folks will say, well, you know, maybe the parents smoked or maybe they did drugs or maybe this. Or the really religious people might say, well, there's some sin involved on the part of the parents that's caused this. Brethren, there's no sin here.
Right, right.
This is done that the power of God might be demonstrated.
Amen. Yeah.
And as to how it's done, how could we understand how God does anything? Except by grace. God speaks, it's done. If He chooses to use spittle, which some folks would be, oh, that's nasty. You know, we have an offense sometimes to how the Lord does things. You know, an offense of the flesh. Sometimes we have an offense of the flesh in who the Lord uses.
Right, right.
My goodness, He allowed that woman to walk, the tears of her eyes to fall upon Him. He allowed her to touch Him. Sometimes we find offense of who the Lord uses. I'm sure this morning that those folks in the rescue boats in Houston, I don't care if you're black, white,
right.
Hispanic, what language you speak, or who you are. If you pull a boat up to my house, I'm jumping in with you. See, some things are more important than the little objections that we put in the way. And then the lawyers being involved. But here's the statement that this man says. And they finally asked him. His parents saying, he's of age, ask him. And let's go to where the actual miracle occurred. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. The brothers told us a while ago, we're all sinners. I've known a lot of people in my life who are very able to hide their sins. From time to time, I will hear people say, well, you know, especially at funerals, I trust you've heard this also, Brother so-and-so never said a harmful word against anybody. He never said a foul word. He would give you the shirt off his back. Yes, if this is a child of God, touched by the grace of God, he manifests grace in his life to others. But I trust you this morning, some point in his life, he had some thoughts that we wouldn't be too proud of.
Right, right.
At some point in his life, he uttered a word under his breath that he was not proud of.
Right.
Because we're all in the image of our father Adam. Until that nature itself is taken away. Go ask him. He's an adult. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Alright, so here's the man who was blind talking about Jesus Christ. Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. Well, you know, at this point, there are a lot of things I don't know, but I know Jesus did not sin. But in the beginning of our attempts at understanding God and studying His Word, there are lots of things we don't know.
Right.
There's some things we do know. I don't know whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I cannot tell you from a legal perspective this afternoon that your name or my name or anybody else's name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never seen it. I've never opened it. I can't open it even if it were laying on the table in front of me. But I take comfort in the Bible saying we know we have passed from death unto life.
Yes.
When we love the brethren.
Right. Amen.
I don't need to read the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
Because I know that we pass from death unto life. There's some things we do know.
Amen.
And other things that we have hope in, and it's those things that we know that give power to that hope.
Right.
I know I'm a sinner. But I know when where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
That's right.
So I'm not worried about being a sinner. Not from the standpoint of what my eternal outcome will be in that. I know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I don't know a group of people any better than the old Baptists. Who get more joy out of being told they're sinners. I suspect I could go to any church down the road here and stand before them and preach depravity and call them sinners and probably get in some amount of trouble. But it brings a smile to an old Baptist face when we're told how great a sinner we are. Because we know what's next.
Yes, sir. Yeah, amen. That's right.
We're told how great a Savior
amen.
Jesus Christ
amen.
Is.
Amen.
And if I weren't a sinner, I wouldn't need a Savior. I truly feel like I've gotten to a place that I'm just happy to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't notice I'm sitting here or I don't have some great position, you know, I'm the chief executive. I'm the CEO of the board of directors of Pine Hill. You know, none of that matters.
That's right.
Brother, I just want to open the door for folks.
Amen.
Because when I'm opening the door for folks, I'm glad folks are there to come in.
Amen. Amen.
Here's the statement that this man says. He doesn't know whether he be a sinner or not. I know not. One thing I know, let me tell you what I do know.
That's it.
Whereas I was blind, now I see.
Yes, sir. Pretty simple.
I don't care. If there's a sin involved in this, God's going to forgive it if it's for His children. I don't necessarily need to know how this worked. And the Lord could have used any means that He wanted to. He could have just said, "You're healed," and the man would have been healed. I think He used the spittle for a particular reason. Because, you know, some people are too proud to receive a simple blessing if it's in an if it's given in a particular way.
Yeah.
But the most important thing that we have out of this is that God gives vision.
Amen.
This man was blessed to see the face of Jesus Christ. Now, is the Lord through with him here? No, we've got a little bit more stuff, a little bit more the Lord's going to do for this man, because He asked him this question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Because He's told us, I don't even know if he's a sinner or not. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? They're really caught up on that. How does this work? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him. If you believe in Jesus Christ, here he hadn't even stated a belief in him. He just simply said, I know I can see now. If you express a belief or a desire toward God or anything that is of God, you will be reviled.
Amen.
You will be persecuted. And let me ask you this. This is truly what's been on my mind this week. When the world is persecuting you and reviling you, you know, we like to say we're Christians. We like to say that, I'm praying for you. And maybe not us, but us certainly at times. But a lot of folks will have that facade, that whitewash of Christianity. How many of us will truly turn the other cheek? Turn to the left when the right has been smitten. Are we at that point? If I'm not, I want to be there.
Amen. Right.
I want to be the best disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that I can be. I want to be, if the world persecutes me, that's okay. I want to be like the apostles. I want to walk away from that rejoicing in that I was counted worthy to suffer in His name.
Amen. Amen.
Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Every decision, I've talked to the church about this, every decision the church makes ought to be made with a spiritual frame of mind.
Amen.
Well, we want to put new carpet in because Brother Joe doesn't like this. We want to paint the building. We want to repad the pews. We want to do this, do that. Yes, those are natural, carnal decisions. There has to be some consideration given to the cost and how much money we have and what's going to look right and match and all that sort of stuff. But you know, every decision the church makes, first and foremost, has to be made from a spiritual thinking.
Amen. Right.
Is this what's best for the church? Is this what we really need to be doing with this little extra bit of money we have? Or do we need to go down here and build Sister So-and-so a wheelchair ramp because she can't even get in out of her house to go to the doctor without two or three heavy, strong men lifting her wheelchair out? Is this what we need to be doing with the resources God has given to us? That's a spiritual question.
That's right.
And you know why God, why the seven men that were chosen out to handle the money of the church, you know the main characteristic of those men is they were spiritual men.
Right.
They knew the Word of God. They knew how to apply it. They weren't just, oh, let's ordain this man, he's a good carpenter. Let's ordain this man because he can benefit the church. We need this deacon because of this. If he's a member of the church, he ought to be benefiting the church in the first place. But is he a spiritually minded man? Is he a man of faith? Can he benefit the church and serve the church from a spiritual standpoint? And so now apply that to your life. How many decisions have you made today where you first ask God, is this the best decision I need to make? Is this what I need to do today? Is this where I need to go? Is this who I need to help? Is this the best application of my resources? Or do we just make decisions the way the world makes them? Somebody angers us, well, we say something to anger them. Somebody takes from us, so we're going to take a little bit from them. We have a natural mentality that has to be fought against every
Amen.
Hour of the day,
right.
Not just every day.
Amen.
We have to be on guard all the time to maintain what God has given us, to be the disciples that we need to be and that we want to be.
Amen.
Not just whitewashed, as the Lord described the Pharisees. Jesus is speaking here. This young man is speaking. They reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." We know that God spake unto Moses, "As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." We don't know anything about him. I mean, they're not even willing to say, "Yes, we see. You can see now." Maybe you really weren't blind in the first place. The man answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes."
That's right.
This is a marvelous thing. When God blesses us, it is a marvelous thing. You know what amazes me? The Bible says, God says he careth for us.
Amen.
Yeah. You ever really thought about that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, here's the God of all creation, from everlasting to everlasting. God didn't have a beginning. He's always been. Don't ask me to explain that one. He'll never have an ending. He has all power to speak whatever He wants into existence. His power is not diminished by the use of it. His ability to be everywhere is not diminished by His being everywhere. I remember growing up, my aunt had a plaque in her living room that said God couldn't be everywhere at the same time, so we invented mothers. I'm going to tell you, if you got that plaque, go home, throw it away.
Amen.
You know, God can be everywhere and see everything at the same time.
Amen.
Yet here's this one and only true living God who cares for us. We who are so insignificant and vile and wretched in our natural condition, polluted in our own blood, cast out into the field to the loathing of our person. And the Bible says that when God came along, it was the time of love.
Right. Amen. Right.
I don't really care how that was, but I care that it was.
Amen.
I don't understand how it was. I can't explain election to you, for the children being not yet born, neither having done good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. I can't understand how God would love Jacob when by his nature he is absolutely no different than Esau. Yet the Bible says, according to the good pleasure of His will.
That's right.
I'm just thankfully loved Jacob.
Amen.
And I'm more thankful, brethren, that my eyes are open to see the love of God and to see the mercy of God and the power of God that He has bestowed upon me in His daily deliverance of me. I remember one occasion when I told the Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore. And I moved 200 miles away from home to get away from church. I go down to Petal, Mississippi. My brother's living down there. He'd been there about a month. I'm going to get a job down there. And Mother shows up that next Sunday and we go over to a church there at Petal. And they didn't know us from Adams. Or anybody else. He didn't know us. And Brother Sammy Odom called on me to pray. I don't call on people to pray that I don't know because I don't know what they're going to say. Stranger comes in, I want to know what he believes before I give him an opportunity to share it with the congregation. And I said, you know what? God's here too. You can't run from God. Of course, things got a lot worse before they got better, but when you get to the end of the rope, the Lord pulls you back up.
Yeah, amen.
Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out.
Wow.
Probably the best thing that ever happened to him. The world threw him out. You know, if you're someplace you don't need to be, the best thing can happen is they throw you out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's a wonderful question. Do you know belief is a work?
Yes, sir.
What must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. Take that to those folks that say salvation is by grace, but you got to believe in it. That's a work. Sometimes it's hard to believe things people say. The woman by the well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus reveals Himself unto her, and she goes back and she says, I found Jesus. Some people believed her like that. Some people had to come and see for themselves. They had to do a little bit more work to believe that Jesus was there. He answered and said, Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. This man believed in Jesus Christ. God said, They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. Ye shall no longer teach every man his brother, every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord. I'm thankful this morning that I do not have to try and touch a dead heart to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you preacher brother can confirm, it's hard enough touching the living hearts to do better than the have been. Let alone trying to resurrect the dead. Lord, I believe. And look what he did after that. Belief must... There must be a follower to believe. You can't just, well, Lord, I believe you, and you have a good day now. He said, I believe, and he worshiped him. You know why we're here this morning, yesterday, why y'all were here yesterday, this morning, this afternoon? Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, before I got up here, I was thinking about what I might say. And Paul said, he said, I'd rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. If we could just reach the born again children of God, with the gospel in such a way, not that we're populating heaven. Brother asked me earlier how many members I have at church. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say. We can't even populate church. How are we going to populate heaven?
Right, man.
But if we could just reach the sin-sick children of God with the gospel, be instant, in season, out of season, whenever the Lord gives an opportunity, and if we have opportunity to ask that question, dost thou believe on Jesus Christ? And let that be a conversation starter. Well, let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what He's done for me. I'm not here to talk about your sins. I'm not going to condemn you for your sins. I've been there. And I'll still be there to the day I die. But let me tell you what He's done for me. Let me tell you what He does for the lost. Not eternally lost. You know, that's another word we don't use too much. But you know what? There's a lot of lost children of God out there. They're wandering up down Bill Street on Friday night.
Right. Yep.
And Saturday, because they never left. Because they're so caught up in the world. There's a lot of God's children who are so confused. I'm interested in the practical things of God's service, because it's the eternal things that have given those value. We need to reach out in the practical thing. How do you serve God? There was a statistic the other day. 75% of all children brought up in the church will leave the church when they move out of their parents' home. If you haven't preached to them before they turn 18, you're probably too late. You better get them while they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have tried to get men to stand up and lead song service at church. 30, 40-year-old men who've never done it won't do it. But if you can get that little 2-year-old, whom we have to tolerate sometimes, because goodness knows he goes back and forth to mama several times. If you can get them when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and get them past the fear of standing in front of people, and then get them old enough to learn the concepts of music and the idea and the practical things of how to lead song service, and how you'll have a song leader. But you're probably not going to get that 40-year-old man to become a great song leader. We need some practical teaching with God's children because of the eternal things that God has done. We have opportunity to worship Him in spirit and truth in the fullness that He's called us to. And I just want to do better than I did yesterday.
Amen.
I'm not worried about last week. I just want to do better than yesterday. I want to do better than last Sunday. And I've got an opportunity tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. When tomorrow gets here, it'll be the day of salvation. Today will cease to have been.
Right.
Because I can't do anything about yesterday.
Yeah.
Dost thou believe in Jesus Christ? I hope you do. Not in just a way that, yes, He's the Son of God, and He died for our sins, but that you believe in Him so much that you're willing to be cast out of the world, to count all things but dung for the excellency of the power of Jesus Christ. That you're willing to be the only person who will follow Him wherever He goes, and who will face whatever He commands us to face. The Lord did not condemn the church when He said, "Fear not, little flock." But I did think He recognized and gives us an understanding that the kingdom of heaven is a little bit more difficult to get into than simply saying, "Well, I want in." Remember, Jesus said, "Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Let's do the will of the Father. Be therefore perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect. And that's, Lord never told us to do anything we weren't able to do.
Amen.
Just simply means be complete. Be what you're called to be.
Right.
I appreciate your attention and your time this afternoon. I have in the past fallen asleep but during the third preacher of a Saturday afternoon. So I appreciate you not doing that. Paul said, be your follower, me even as I'm of Christ. So that's not, don't follow the preacher when he falls asleep. But I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your desire to be here. And I ask that you continue to pray for the Old Baptist Church, the truth, and the gospel, the ministry, wherever she is in this world. Thank you.
Amen.